Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four. I'm Jim Galante along with Dustin Hawkinsmith. Dustin, we spent the first three quarters talking about Media Day and all the information that came out of that. So why stop now? I'd like to pick it up where we left off in quarter number three, because I'm really fascinated by this changeover now. It's almost unprecedented. They brought in the new offensive coordinator, Kirk Ciarca. He only lasted a year, and they are now with Mike Yurcich, which does seem like a perfect philosophical fit for James Franklin. But it also tells us Kirk Ciarca was not the right fit. What happened? How did that all happen, that Kirk Ciarca was brought in and they could not see that there would be an issue?
I think, you know, seeing and experiencing how good a coordinator can be firsthand can be a really wonderful tool to evaluate that person. But it seems like maybe that James Franklin put a little too much stock in how Kirk Ciarca sliced and diced his defense a couple years ago in evaluating and wanting this guy. And not only that, I think he's seen the success that Ciarca had. Ciarca worked with a close friend of his, another kindred spirit of his, with PJ Fleck in Minnesota. Kirk Ciarca is also a Pennsylvania guy, which is another thing that's important to James Franklin. So some of the ingredients were there, and maybe you just couldn't really anticipate the degree to which you could or couldn't work together, the degree to which he actually shared your philosophy and didn't just say that in the job interview. Again, Kirk Ciarca clearly is an accomplished and a very good play caller, but I think maybe just for where Penn State is and where their personnel is and what James Franklin wants to get done, it just seems like for one area or multiple areas that he just wasn't the guy for that. And, you know, I think, as we mentioned in the previous segment, you know, the offensive coordinator, it's their job to put their stamp on the concepts that James Franklin wants. You're executing what James Franklin wants from a broad standpoint, but when it comes down to getting creative within that, coming up with spinoff plays, coming up with new plays that fit that concept, adding new elements like motion and working your protections and understanding what your personnel is, and maybe most importantly of all, two things. One being your work with the quarterback and your ability to develop him, which I think is another area that Franklin probably wasn't all that satisfied with what he was seeing last year from Ciarca. When you talk about Sean Clifford and Will Levis and their performance, I don't think anybody can really make the case that they took steps forward last year. I think they maybe took steps backwards. And again, I mean, could have been the circumstances with COVID and not being able to prepare and not being ready to hit the ground running. But they, you know, the offense was sloppy and Sean Clifford wasn't very good for a large portion of last year. And then, you know, the last thing when you talk about the coordinator and his touch on executing the offense is just, you know, your feel and your instinct and your ability to call plays within the game, to be able to adjust based on what defenses are or aren't doing. I mean, that's where the offensive coordinator's value is most publicly known. And that's where, you know, I do think that they make their money. You know, I think installing schemes and getting guys to execute in a practice setting, that's great. That's wonderful. You need that. But not being able to have that translate to the field is another thing. Mike Yurcich has history of that translating to the field.
I believe this also supports a little bit about what, you know, I called what James Franklin was saying a bit of a contradiction, but I think this also a bit supports his theory that it's about not just that the plays are similar, and maybe he saw that with Kirk Ciarca. You put a specific defensive player under stress where he's got to make a decision with the RPO and things like that. But at the end of the day with Ciarca, maybe it was about passing underneath, something like that, where Yurcich is looking to go over the top with that same concept. He's looking for explosive plays. He's looking for big plays, which is obviously what James Franklin is looking for. He's looking to, you know, put the pedal to the metal, you know, and we saw that at its best in the Joe Moorhead years, and especially that Big Ten championship years. I keep going back to that Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin, and there's your Exhibit A. They were down, what, 2-3 touchdowns, and as a fan, you were still saying to yourself, we got them right where we want them, you know. And before you know it, boom, 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 game's tied, Penn State ahead. And it was that explosive and that much fun to watch. You get the feeling that Yursich is going to deliver that kind of offense. The other
let me just add, like, I think to your point, I mean, there's a certain amount of fearlessness or ambition that James Franklin wants to see in terms of creating big plays and what you're trying to accomplish, that I think anybody who saw, and this was one of the items of feedback whenever Penn State did hire Kirk Ciarrocca, is that you're hiring a guy who's going to lean more towards simple conservative concepts and less toward, you know, where James Franklin wants to be. And I think maybe, you know, this is one of the few areas, if you really had James Franklin candid, he would admit that he probably miscalculated, because Kirk Ciarrocca for Penn State looked to be who Kirk Ciarrocca has always been. And I think maybe James Franklin thought that he could change and shift his philosophy, and maybe Kirk Ciarrocca wasn't as willing to do that as James Franklin wanted, and this is kind of where we are.
We've been talking a lot about Mike Yursich. Let's hear from him and what he has to say more in general philosophies about, I think, in training camp and the game of football itself. Listen up.
It's a very humbling game. And once you think you're arrived, or once you think, hey, he's really good, he's where we need him to be, you're going to get caught from behind. So we're going to continue to drive our fundamentals, our skill set, our mental approach, our psychology, our nutrition, our strength. It's everything. It takes a village. And we have that support all around these players, and we have to continue to have that attitude and work.
First off, Dustin, does that not sound like a football coach?
It sounds like a football coach. It sounds like James Franklin, right? Like his approach and what he's saying there sounds like James Franklin. I think that's kind of why he's here. It also more and more really sounds in character for Mike Yursich. And, you know, and he touched on earlier, you know, I think similar ideas of pushing Sean Clifford in every single way. You know, if he makes a mistake, if he makes a silly throw, if he doesn't see a defender in practice, Mike Yursich seems like the kind of guy that's going to demand an explanation. What did you see there? Hold you accountable for that little mistake in that setting. So maybe you're less likely to make that same mistake in an elevated setting, in a game day setting. So I think his push to really want to be great and want to be thorough in every single way comes across in this quote. And the other thing that I really like about this quote, and I think all of us need a reminder of this sometimes, is that, you know, whether things are going bad, whether Penn State doesn't perform on a Saturday, whether Penn State gets upset, whether they get pushed to the brink by a team that should not be pushing, whatever. We, as you know, speaking as media types and fans and people who aren't in the know, aren't on the inside, we tend to get really carried away and want to write the book on a season or a player after one chapter. And for better or worse, I think Mike Yursich there, it's a unique reminder of saying, you know what, let's take everything that we're seeing, especially in training camp, you know, when guys aren't even in pads, you know, a part of the time, to not take it too far when it comes to expectations, and not take it too far to anoint players who shouldn't be anointed just yet because they did one thing or had one big game. It's a lesson that we all need when we watch sports, but it's a lesson that we always need to learn, but we make the same mistakes over and over and over again, being casual viewers of football, right? Just, don't we?
Oh my goodness, always. Think back several years ago. Remember Sean Clifford coming in late in a game and throwing an 85-yard pass to Daniel George, and oh my goodness, he's going to be the greatest thing. Every spring, remember, we have that one running back who's a walk-on about seventh string, and he gets two carries for 40 yards, and we think that guy's going to be the superstar. We all do it, and you know what, Dustin? We're going to keep on doing it. And just not to put it on you, but remember earlier in this show, the media gets to see a couple minutes of practice and tries to get some conclusions out of it. So Dez Holmes, for three plays, was running with the third team. So
yeah,
we make assumptions, right?
He stinks, Jim. That's the assumption. No, I mean, I think I tried to, without being unfair, because it's all speculative, you try to lay out a number of reasons that that could be happening that don't point to that, you know, that don't point to Dez Holmes just not being a good football player or whatever, that don't point to him, you know, being regressing or whatever. So you always need that dose of perspective. And I think, you know, one thing, especially with coaches, when you're evaluating practice footage and things like that, as hard as you do, is that you're only as good a player, whether that's football or any sport, as the worst thing that you do, the worst mistake that you make, the worst bad habit that you have. And that doesn't really figure into the long-term plan, because not to pick on Devin Ford, let's say, but when he is at his best, he is a very, very special player. But we haven't seen him at his best as often as we would like. And it sounds like that's, you know, there's a root of that in practice too. You're only as good as your worst day. And we as fans don't really see their worst day usually. Sometimes that happens on the field.
I'll give you one other place where I think we jump to conclusions. We get, the media will ask a question about a specific player. So we react to that. And most of the time the coaches are going to say they're a really good player. Let me play what Joe Lurig had to say about Jaquan Brisker on special teams or returning kicks, and we could go from there.
Yeah, Brisker's definitely in the mix. You know, he's a guy that obviously is very capable. He's got tremendous skill. He's got good ball skills. He's a great decision maker. You know, when we look at those positions, I shouldn't say it's really a collective effort on our staff and obviously with Coach Franklin. But when we look at those positions, it's not always going to be the most dynamic person necessarily, because our goals, very clearly stated throughout the program, is to own the ball, which means not give up any possessions and make great decisions, and then not have penalties on special teams. And really the genesis of that.
And I'm cutting that a little bit short because I want you to respond. And it can get you excited about Jaquan Brisker on special teams, but you got to realize the media specifically asked about Jaquan Brisker.
Yeah, so he's in the mix. He's a player with the skill set to do it. What Joe Lurig was saying fits right into what I just said, where, you know, your worst mistake is going to define you as a punt returner. And whether you have the ability to take it to the house or not kind of doesn't matter if you're going to put the ball on the turf all the time. So that's the push and pull in special teams. That's the push and pull in how we're seeing and talking about players, is that sometimes you just got to pump the brakes. And for them, I mean, the ability to avoid stupid mistakes means more in the return game than we give credit for.
It really does. Dustin, we had so much more even to talk about than this, but unfortunately we're out of time. That is it for our show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.